Another fine for Google. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. France's competition watchdog has fined Google a record $593 million in an ongoing dispute over copyrights. Google and news outlets around the world have been fighting over Google's use of news snippets and how and whether news outlets should be compensated. But this fine isn't because France's regulators found Google in breach of any copyright, but rather because the regulator says Google wasn't negotiating in good faith with news outlets. The BBC's Andrew Walker has more.
Google has been given 2 months to make proposals on how it would compensate news suppliers whose material it uses. If it does not do so, it faces further fines of $1 million a day. It had reached a framework agreement with many French news publishers, but some, including the news agency AFP and the group which represents several major newspapers, accused the technology giant of not negotiating in good faith. Google has rejected the accusation. It said the fine ignored the efforts it had made and the reality of how news works on its platforms.
That was the BBC's Andrew Walker. The operator of much of California's electrical grid has put out a warning over the last few days, asking people to conserve energy as temperatures soar and a wildfire in Oregon threatens power lines. Public utilities were hoping new battery systems could help store extra power in times like these and prevent some of the rolling blackouts seen in 2020, but that is not happening as quickly as hoped. Marketplace's Caroline Champlin has more on why.
The new public utility batteries, mostly lithium-ion, would only store a fraction of available power. But on really hot, high-demand days, the difference between meeting those needs or falling short could mean blackouts.
So we're very nervous. We'll see when the heat comes and whether some of those resources are online or not.
That's Brad Hevner with the California Solar and Storage Association. He says energy operators are trying to make sure the batteries don't overload the grid. UC Berkeley business professor Severin Borenstein says safety is worth the time.
You put a whole bunch of small lithium batteries in a really tight space. And as has been well advertised, lithium-ion batteries can be a little unstable if they don't stay cool and if they aren't treated right and so forth.
Also, Borenstein adds, sourcing is a big problem. Utilities have started competing more with electric vehicles and household grids for the same materials. That's something to consider for other states that are watching to see if this system is worth trying. I'm Caroline Champlin for Marketplace.
Bank earnings are starting to come out. J.P. Morgan Chase reported it earned just shy of $12 billion in the second quarter, beating analyst expectations. The bank released money it had set aside in case it needed to cover loan losses related to the pandemic, so that made it look pretty good. Goldman Sachs earnings out too. That bank made $15.5 billion in the second quarter, also beating expectations. Goldman benefited from a booming IPO market. Bitcoin, Ether, and other cryptocurrencies keep inching closer to the financial mainstream. The cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase has a market value of some $60 billion. Bullish Global, a group backed by three billionaires, including Peter Thiel, plans on launching another cryptocurrency exchange. Alongside this, there is a movement to make it easier for people to invest their retirement savings in cryptocurrencies. Here to talk about that is Marketplace senior economics contributor Chris Farrell. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
So that didn't take long, huh, for people looking to put crypto towards retirement. Are people actually doing that?
Oh, yes, people are. I mean, remember the, what's the adage? Follow the money. I mean, look, there is some $23 trillion in IRAs and 401ks, and financiers keep developing ways to make it easier to add crypto to your nest egg.
I mean, how are they encouraging people to do that? How is that logistically done?
Okay, so the main avenue is what's called a self-directed IRA, which can hold a variety of alternative investments, which are normally prohibited from an IRA, a regular IRA. And then, you know, quite noticeably for us all, it's an investment platform for small businesses, combined forces with Coinbase to enable employers to offer their workers cryptocurrencies in their 401k plan. So employees could transfer up to 5% of the retirement balances into crypto, and employees will be able to buy, hold, and sell over 50 different cryptocurrencies.
Is putting cryptocurrencies even a small percentage into your retirement portfolio. Is that a good idea?
No, I don't think it's a good idea. Now, I'm going to get a lot of complaints for that answer from passionate advocates for investing in crypto. But look, the crypto ecosystem, it's noisy, it's volatile, it's opaque, and we're talking about your retirement savings. Over the past four decades, during this 401k era, the evidence is overwhelming that workers saving for their retirement are better off as buy and hold investors in really low fee investments rather than actively trading their accounts.
I guess we can think about this two ways. One is it's people putting money into something risky. On the other, it's leveling the playing field because, you know, like the big institutional investors can play around with crypto if they want to. Why not us little people? How do you see it?
So, you know, there's a lot of writings about the democratization of finance. And, you know, you have to call me a skeptic because I don't think you can ever underestimate the ability of financiers to transfer money from your pocket into their coffers. I mean, look, the limitations of crypto, they're formidable. They're unsettling. And the crypto market isn't going to disappear, but it's also highly uncertain how it's going to evolve.
Chris Farrell, Marketplace Senior Economics Contributor. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.